From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for today's broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns is expounding the meaning of the sixth commandment, Thou shalt not kill. In introducing the subject, Dr. Cairns explained that the word kill in the Bible refers almost always to the unlawful taking of human life. In other words, murder. All human life, even that of criminals, is precious to God, and He has prescribed definite penalties for those who willfully break His command, as well as appropriate treatment for those who accidentally kill someone. As we'll see, there are provisions for the lawful taking of life in cases of self-defense or war. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, here's a brief selection from C.H. Spurgeon's devotional collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, He Acts on Honest Confession. The text is found in Job chapter 33, verses 27 and 28. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right, and it profiteth me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. This is a word of truth, gathered from the experience of a man of God, and it is tantamount to a promise. What the Lord has done and is doing, He will continue to do while the world stands. The Lord will receive into His bosom all who come to Him with a sincere confession of their sin. In fact, He is always on the lookout to discover any that are in trouble because of their faults. Can we not endorse the language here used? Have we not sinned? Sinned personally, so as to say, I have sinned. Sinned willfully, having perverted that which is right. Sinned so as to discover that there is no profit in it, but an eternal loss. Let us then go to God with this honest acknowledgement. He asks no more. We can do no less. Let us plead His promise in the name of Jesus. He will deliver us from the pit of hell which yawns for us. He will grant us life and light. Why should we despair? Why should we even doubt? The Lord does not mock humble souls. He means what He says. The guilty can be forgiven. Those who deserve execution can receive free pardon. Lord, we confess, and we pray Thee to forgive.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Under the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
If I find in the night that a thief has broken in upon my property, I have every right to suppose that violence is in his mind and it is his purpose. And if I smite him that he die, there will be no penalty of the law. That is the law of God. But just to show you that that does not give open season even against criminals, the next verse goes on to say that if the thief is caught in daylight, then there is no ground for killing him. In the darkness, in the confusion, I may well think that an unarmed man even may be armed, that a man simply stealing silver is therefore also there to do murder. But in daylight, in the broad light of day, unless there is an explicit threat to life, I have no right to take a life. In other words, it is the law of God that has instituted what those who study jurisprudence call proportionality. And killing a man is not a proportionate action or a proportionate punishment for him stealing my silver. So that if the daylight be risen upon him, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. What is the proportional punishment? He should make full restitution according to the law of God. And if he can't make restitution, then let him be sold for his theft. So even the life of a criminal is precious in God's sight. But in self-defense, it is lawful to take another life. Capital punishment is a second way whereby it is lawful to take another life. Genesis 9 verse 6 says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." It's very interesting that there are about 30 different crimes in the Old Testament for which the death penalty was enacted. Though I think we would be right in saying it was not very often executed. But there were about 30 different crimes. However, among all those crimes, the crime of murder was one that the Lord seemed to set in a category by itself. For instance, he was very careful to mark the difference between criminal homicide and involuntary manslaughter. That is not a distinction that carnal men have instituted. That is a distinction which God in his sovereign justice instituted. Not only so, we find that for those guilty of involuntary manslaughter, so that that would never become an easy way out, he yet allowed death to be visited upon them, except they would go for safety to the city of refuge. And throughout Israel, he had cities of refuge strategically placed that the manslayer may go there. And then when the manslayer did go there, knowing that other murderers would run there as well and seek to hide behind this provision for involuntary manslayers, he instituted the most rigorous legal investigation to establish the guilt or innocence of one charged with murder. You read about that, for example, in the 35th chapter of the book of Numbers. But where there was proof, and I want you to understand this, there are some Christians who talk about the death penalty, and I do not speak as an enemy of the death penalty. I believe the state should employ the death penalty. So let me clear that out of the way, where it is appropriate. But There are some Christians who talk about the use of the death penalty in such careless terms that they seem to have the impression that the life of a criminal is of no importance to God whatsoever. One thing you discover when you study the Scripture is that the image of God and man, though defaced in all of us by sin, is not completely eradicated even by the behavior of criminals. And the life of man is precious in the sight of God. And it is a foolish thing for Christians to talk glibly and thoughtlessly about the death penalty as if the law of the Old Testament instituted a nation that swam in blood. It didn't. There was rigorous investigation. Once guilt was proved beyond doubt, where there was time, where there was effort — this was not Lynch law — where there was time, where there was effort, where there was proof, then the death penalty was available. But if you look at all the evidence, you will find that even in instituting that, God was doing so to emphasize how precious is human life. But it could be taken through just capital punishment. There is also such a thing as has often been called a just war, in which it is lawful to take human life. Now let me not get into too much of a controversy here, but I will no doubt stir some controversy when I said that most wars are unjust. In most cases, and I will leave it to you to supply the names and dates of the cases that will come to mind, in most cases, the people of various nations have been committed to war merely by the political intrigue of unscrupulous leaders. And Hitler was not the only one. Most wars are thoroughly unjust. And even when they are just, they are horrible beyond description. Hollywood's love of glorifying war and bloodshed as something glorious is certainly one of the major ingredients in the disintegration of the morality of the Western world. War is horrible. Not to be glorified, even where it is just, but it is to be regretted, though the exploits of brave men and women in such a war may certainly justly be remembered and indeed celebrated. The great preacher Robert Hall once said, "War is nothing but the temporary repeal of all the principles of virtue." The more you look at it, the more you'll see how true that is. One of the most moving experiences Joan and I ever had was 2 summers ago, visiting the scenes of war in northern France. And though those graveyards are now some 80 years old, you would have a heart like a stone you didn't weep when you went to them. To think of those thousands and hundreds of thousands of young men sacrificed by stupid politicians and even more stupid military commanders, toing and froing over the same half mile of meaningless mud. When you visit it, there may be glory in the memory, of good and decent people who died. But war in itself, certainly the repeal of every biblical principle of virtue. But at times it's unavoidable. Aggressors must be stopped. The Second World War was terrible. How much more terrible if Hitler had had his way unmolested. But the Bible does not teach pacifism. It would be wonderful indeed if every nation and every ruler in the world adopted pacific views and said, we outlaw war. That would be a wonderful thing indeed, if everybody was full of sweet reason. But that's not the world we live in. And aggressors must be stopped. Abraham, with the blessing of God, fought against Chedorlaomer and his confederates when they came on a war of aggression. The children of Israel fought against Amalek when Amalek came and smote the hindmost of them. And not only did they do so with the blessing of God, but with such a blessing from God that hundreds of years later, God said, I remember what Amalek did unto you. Blot out their name. Go and fight against them. So aggressors may and indeed must be stopped. The self-defense of a nation is a just reason for a war that kills. The protection of our allies, as in the case of Israel coming to the aid of the Gibeonites against their surrounding enemies, is the case of a just war, and killing in this case is not unlawful. Thus we find in Scripture that men of war may well at the same time be men of God. David was certainly a man of blood, a man of war from his very youth, but he was also the man after God's own heart. The centurion whom we meet in Matthew chapter 8 was a serving soldier in the most efficient military machine the world had ever seen until that time. But the Lord Jesus said that he possessed the greatest faith of any person he had met in Israel or anywhere else. Cornelius was another centurion in that same Roman army. But God said his arms were respected and they came into remembrance before God. So it's possible to be a man of war and yet a man of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.